At the beginning of 2014, a man by the name of Ricky Mena was completely broke, sleeping on his friend's on a friend's couch, unsure of what he wanted to do with his life. He wanted to work as a personal trainer, but he struggled to find a job. So he was really struggling. Well, one night, he dreamt that his late grandmother showed up, showed him a strange video on an old movie projector. And in this dream, on this projector, there was Spider-Man was going around a hospital bringing children joy through jokes and toys and taking pictures. Ricky asked his grandmother in the dream, what did the movie have to do with him? To which his grandmother replied, that's you. When you wake up, that's what you are supposed to do. Well, when Ricky woke up from this dream, he sold his car to get his first Spider-Man costume, which cost him $1,400. And he began visiting the area hospitals. Now, can you imagine Spider-Man walking in? How well was he received? Not so well. At first, he was rejected, turned away, but he persisted, and eventually, he started to interact with the patients. Ricky Mena has now visited over 9,000 children, and he founded a nonprofit called Heart of a Hero, which collects toys to give away during his visits. So what is it that you've been called to do? What is the work that you do? How are you serving your fellow men and women, humankind? Now, when I use the term work, I'm not necessarily describing work for pay. So I want you to look at a bigger definition of work. It's work, it's meaningful activity that has a sense of purpose. And since this is Labor Day weekend, I thought that was a great theme for us to focus on. And we want to look at the life of David and draw some lessons and learn from what he can teach us. Because King David, there's a lot written about him in the Old Testament, lots of chapters. He's got quite a colorful life. We want to look at his life and look at some of the things that was said about him to teach us about the work that we've been called to do, that we are engaged in. Acts 13:36. There's notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along. I've got that verse in there. Acts 13:36 says this. It says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. I love that line because that basically is the summarization of David's life. And I want you and myself as well, I've thought about this as even more recently I was at a funeral reflecting on what was being said about the person that was being honored. I was thinking more about my father, who's 87, but I was also thinking about myself and what would I want to have said? What do I want them to say at my funeral? I know it's a bit morbid, but it's the idea of how do you want to live your life? What legacy do you want to leave behind? And how do you want your work, your service, to connect with what exactly you want to have said about your life? And this is what they say about David. This is in a sermon in Acts that Paul is preaching, and he's talking about David. David had served God's purpose in his own generation. So how about you? Right now in your life, as you look at it, are you serving God's purpose right now? Is the work that you're doing, is the activity that you're involved in, is it in alignment with the purpose that God has for your life? Acts 13:22, you go back a few verses, this is something else that's said about David. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. I think that's fairly significant. It's God testifying about David. What does he say? I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do anything, everything I want him to do. I think that just goes along with David served God's purpose in his own generation. There's a lot of things we could say about David. I'm not going to go through. There's highlights listed there in the flyer, in the bulletin. And I'm going to kind of touch on some of the parts of his life as a demonstration of how he lived and followed God's purpose in his life. And I show you a bit of a pathway. And I think this pathway is one that we can also follow. So if you are curious about just kind of confirming or checking out to see how much in alignment is your purpose with what God wants you to do versus kind of what you're doing now, and you're sort of wandering through life and you're wondering, man, I just don't feel like I'm in alignment with what I'm really on this earth to do. And I think we're going to be all over the map on that. As I talk to people, I realize that some people, they know exactly what the purpose is that they are on this earth to do. And other people are sort of wondering about that. They're in a stage of life that says, I really don't know what I'm doing. What I'm doing is not really fun. I'm not feeling alive. And so wherever you are on that spectrum, I think there's something here we can grab a hold of from David. So look at this is a pathway. There's five parts to it. Number one is to serve God's purpose, you need to find your talent. You need to find your talent. So what's your talent? Think about that. I'm going to have you actually answer that in just about 1 minute here. Well, David, he found his talent as a boy out on the hills looking after sheep. So what talent did David bring to as a shepherd? Any ideas? What would be some of the talents that David had?
He was a warrior because he killed bears and lions.
Okay, so the warrior, he was a courageous shepherd because he had to look after these sheep and their predators. And so, exactly. What other qualities do we see in David as a boy? What talent did he have?
Patience,
exactly. Can you imagine being with sheep, stinky sheep, all night, sitting there waiting? Other talents that we know about David, even as he was out there on the hillside. Was he a poet?
Musician.
Poet. He developed that talent as a boy. He learned how to, and then actually later on, when he went to be in Saul's house, he came as a musician to comfort Saul when he was being afflicted. But so David had these talents as he was growing up. Poetry, he was a warrior, he was a courageous person, he knew how to fight. And then he used that talent when he was called up at age, between 15 and 17, to actually kill Goliath. His talent, and then we started to see David living out God's purpose as a teenager. But we know he was also living out that purpose as a child, as a boy, as he was honing those skills. So what is your talent? What are you good at? Or do you like to help people? Do you like to work behind the scenes and kind of make things kind of happen so that when somebody's doing something out front or out in the open, it works? Do you like to teach? Do you like to show mercy to those who are suffering? Do you like to give? Do you like to use your hands? Do you like give direction to others? Do you like organizing other people's messes? I need one of those if anybody's handy. Okay, I want you to talk to your neighbors. And I want you to think about, what is one of your talents? Just tell each other, my talent is, something I'm good at is, what? So what are your talents? Anybody want to volunteer their neighbor's talent?
A giver.
Excellent. Darcy.
Motivator.
Compassion.
What was that? Compassion. Excellent. Other talents? Anybody good with their hands? Can build things, fix things?
Good humor.
Sense of humor. Excellent. We need that. Lots of talents. As I look around here, I know so many of you, and we're a community full of talented people. Well, there's a second part to the pathway. So it's one thing to know your talent, but I think there's another level that to live out God's purpose we need to move into, and that is we need to focus your service. I don't think talents are given for our own use only. I believe that God gives us talent so that we can actually serve others with that talent. So we can turn that into help for others and making a difference. And we see that in David's life, where Samuel comes to David as a boy. Yeah, he was talented looking after the sheep, but God had more for him. His purpose was bigger than that. Samuel saw David with these qualities, this talent of courage and initiative and poetry and leadership, and he spoke into his life and picked David amongst all of his brothers, even though he was the runt. Because it's not about what it looks like on the outside. There was something going on in this heart of this child, of this boy, that God saw. And so it was focusing his service. So he went, took lunch to his brothers, and ended up killing Goliath. It was a focused service, using this courage and this an ability to trust God that he learned out on the hills. And then he goes, and it just goes on from there. I mean, his life gets pretty rocky. We're going to come back to that, where Saul actually becomes jealous of David, even though he brings David into his household, and he plays music, and he's kind of a helpful kind of guy, using his poetry and his music. But Saul became jealous and actually wanted to kill David, so then David had to run for his life. But we're going to come back to that. And we also see some qualities in David as well. Peter Marshall, the late Peter Marshall, said, "Small deeds done are better than great deeds planned." I think focused service is not about talking about what you're going to do. It's actually doing something with it. So taking that talent and then turning that into action and moving forward with that. Colossians 3, 23, 24. "And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. Don't just do your job, do your purpose while you're on the job." Focus that service, use that talent, and serve other people with it. We're going to hear from one of my friends, your friends in our community. Debbie Dale is going to come on up here. She's going to tell us her story, and it includes some of what we're talking about here. So once we welcome up Debbie, and she's going to give us a... tell us your story.
Thanks, Cam. Hello, everyone. I'm one of the vintage people here, as someone said this morning. To my husband, I think. I've been attending New Heights for 22 years when it started. First of all, I want to say I love every one of you. Don't forget that part. I think we're a great eclectic group of people, you know, from all walks of life. And this church really values acceptance and embracing wherever you are in life and in your circumstance and in your faith and moving forward together. I really love that about this body. And it also values being real and raw. So I'm attempting to be real here. I like this and I don't like this. But I'm up here because I want to share with you that in a very intense way, I suffer from insecurity. This is a brain paralyzer and a heart paralyzer. Pastor Greg knows this, so, you know, he gets everyone to greet people first thing in the morning here at church. You know, what is that? That's kind of like a joke, I'm sure, a loving joke. Why do we have to do this? That's what goes on in my head. But, you know, Greg pushes on with that. Thank you, Greg. Insecurity affects everything. I'm thinking, what do people think of me? What do I say in a crowd for a conversation? I want relationships, but I don't want relationships. It's a conflicting battle that goes on in your head all the time. But the good news is, and that I want to say today, is that in the midst of all this turmoil, I know that God loves me and that He loves all of you as well. And He reminds me in His Word that if I draw near to Him, He will draw near to me. He accepts me as I am, but He does want to move me forward. And He doesn't want me imprisoned by my insecurity. So it is a battle, but it's God's battle too. I intentionally ask God to fill my mind with His thoughts. When I read His Word, He gives me those truths about real life. I crank on Christian tunes. Some of them are good and some of them aren't that great, but I crank them on anyways, going to work. And I pray for my friends and my family on the way to work, and for people that I have trouble with and people that I don't, and just that my mind would be fixed on God and what He thinks about people and about me, you know. And I try to be kind to myself on a bad day, because God still loves me intensely, right? I also come here to New Heights just to, because here you can really receive that love and acceptance and the truth of God's Word. So I guess I just want to say lastly that it's ironic to me that a main purpose in my life that I've always had ever since a child is to really share God's love and heart with other people. And I'm working in a compassionate kind of job where I'm working with seniors, and I can really share that kind of love with them. And yet, on the other hand, I face insecurity around people. So I just want to encourage everyone, you know, to never give up, to always let God take control, and to embrace each other no matter who they are and what you think or don't think about them. We all need that kind of love and acceptance. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. I think it's a wonderful illustration, when, especially what she said there at the end. She's found her talent. She is someone that loves people and has this incredible capacity for compassion, and now works with people that need that love. They need that care. In Trim is where she serves, and she has found a talent, and it's a focused service that Debbie is doing, and I'm so grateful for that story. Here's one way I want you can think about this, and this is in your notes there. It's using a metaphor to think about your own life and then a phrase to follow. So it could go something like this. The phrase is in there. It says, I am a, what are you? You know, use a metaphor, who, and then how do you express that? Let me give you an example. Like if you just look around, you know, let's just look around. There's different images or things that could become a metaphor for your life. Okay? Like let's, for example, you are a shelter. Okay, so let's just say you're someone that's very kind and compassionate. You are a shelter that helps people feel loved and protected from their fears or whatever. There's a metaphor that I use for my life as I think about my own purpose. I like the image of a lighthouse. So I say to, if I'm expressing my purpose and how I'm serving, I'm a lighthouse, fully conscious. I know where the light's coming from. It's Jesus Christ, His light. I'm a lighthouse who helps people find their why and find their way. And so for me, that focuses my service, where I recognize that I have been gifted, blessed with God's love and God's light, and it's my job, my purpose is to express that, helping people to find their purpose and why are they here, and help them just find their way and navigate through the challenges of life. Your metaphor may be a bridge. You're someone that brings people from one place to another. Maybe another metaphor, any examples? What do you think of as metaphors for maybe your life or somebody else's? Who has an idea?
A tree.
A tree. Okay, so maybe a shade tree. Yeah. You're a shade tree. What else? Other metaphors? I know, I'm making you think a little bit. As you look around here, what about you're a vehicle that helps move people from one place to another in their learning? A metaphor for a teacher could be, I am a what? Maybe a poet or a lectern?
Squawking goose.
Well, that if that goose is actually leading the other geese, right, down south, then you have a real purpose in that. So just think with that. Think on that and just dwell on that and take that with you as you reflect on not just what's your talent, but how will you focus that talent. The third part of the pathway is follow the advice of mentors. You look at David, who did he have as mentors in his life? Well, he had Samuel, who came and met him there on the hillside and had a mentoring role. Jonathan, the son of King Saul, became a mentor. Jonathan actually was quite a bit older than David, and he became a very close friend that guided David through some of the landmines in Saul's household. As Saul got more jealous and more, he had an evil spirit, the Bible says. Jonathan became a mentor that helped guide David in his life. And then later on in his life, when he really messed up, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and he lied and he killed her husband, I mean, he seriously needed somebody to come and speak into his life. Well, who shows up but Nathan? Shows up into David's life, a mentor that spoke the truth, and David was, he repented of that sin, and then he was able to, because you look at David's life, he had a lot of black spots. But yet in Acts chapter, this chapter we just read, at the end of his life, it says that he lived God's purpose in his generation, even though he messed up. And I think one reason for that was he had these mentors. He had people that he gave permission to speak into his life. Now, that's certainly been true in my life, and I have them now, and some of them are in this room. People that I have given them that role, I trust people enough to say, tell me if there's something going on here that is out of alignment, or teach me this, show me this. And I believe in historical mentors and peer mentoring and those that are above you, and those are those people that I'm trying to mentor. So for yourself, what is your talent? What's your focus service? And who are the mentors in your life that are helping you blossom, to grow into that, to be all that you can be, to express your talent in a way that's meaningful and powerful? The third part of the pathway is to face adversity with determination. And we see that in David's life. Even as a boy, when those lions came to attack the sheep, he didn't run the other way. He took that adversity and he leaned into it, taking his talent, fighting those lions, developing courage, and use determination to get through that. And then when we fast forward to when he's running for his life, and there's lots in the Bible about David living in caves and trying to keep away from David and all of his men that are after him to try to kill him. It's pretty intense. Like, it's hard to believe that David was so sought after to be killed, being such an incredible warrior that he was, but that was his reality. But instead of David becoming bitter, because two times he had the opportunity to kill King Saul when he was out there looking for him. So what does he do? He says, no, that's the king. He's anointed. I'm not going to touch him. I'm going to trust God. And he was determined to live his life on purpose, to follow the pathway that had been set out for him, and to do the right thing. And he got stronger, I believe, in adversity. And you can read some of the Psalms. Psalm 34. There's another one that talks about him out in the caves, where he's just crying out to God. And it's pretty real stuff. But in that, he's developing this strength of character that, to me, is a part of what it takes to live out your purpose. Life is not always easy. You've seen that. I've seen that. And in order for us to get to the end of our lives and live on purpose and make a difference, make a mark, so that when we get to our funeral, people are up there saying, this person lived God's purpose in their generation. We have got to endure adversity and learn to grow stronger through adversity, become better people, not bitter people. And I also believe, and I've learned a lot of this from Rick Warren, who I listen to once in a while, who's been through incredible adversity and challenges, but continues to rise to the challenge of leadership and quite an influence in the world, really. He talks about how God let me put it into my words. He never wastes adversity. He never wastes the pain in our lives. He wants to use that for good and make it a part of our purpose. I've seen that in my own life. And some of the greatest joys that I have are when I take the things I've learned in my own adversity and my own suffering, and doors of purpose have opened, and I've made meaningful connections because of what I've learned. Just recently, I'm actually going through a three-part workshop series with a group of people in the Fraser Valley, and they are people that have all had different kinds of brain injuries and traumas. They've had concussions and strokes, and one fellow he's a double amputee, no legs, and I was there a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I said to myself, what am I doing here? And then I realized, as I started hearing these stories of adversity and, you know, how they got into this situation with this life-altering accidents and incidents and the struggles that these people are facing, then I realized, I think I'm here because I've got something to share with them. I'm to stand up with this group and be a lighthouse that helps them be inspired to live on purpose and find their way. And I spent an hour with them a couple weeks ago and be back again this week and talking about dealing with stress and using my talent of teaching and facilitating and also some writing thrown in there. I gave them all journals to use and taking my talent, focusing it on purpose. And then God's used this adversity in my life to actually be a part of my story. And it's all I could think about when I left that room was, thank you. Thank you. That, wow, I am so blessed. I am so grateful for what I have. And I think about, and I think I have this empathy which has come through adversity. And I look around this room here and I see, what have you gone through that God wants to use for his purpose in the lives of others? That's the point of this. Is that you have talent, you need to focus it in service, but you need to allow the adversity of your life to become a part of your story. And what a powerful thing that is. And God will bring people into your life who align with what you've gone through, what you understand, your journey, your story, and that will become a part of your purpose. I don't think purpose is ever like, oh, I got my purpose figured out at 21 and I'm set now. It's always being changed. I'm going along, okay, I got things figured out here now. And then all of a sudden, something else happens, another experience, or I learn something, or another mentor, or another talent kind of emerges. And I realize, okay, I need to adjust my service to align with this purpose that is kind of ever-changing. I think there's a core purpose, but I think it evolves. And that was true for David. And then number five, the fifth part of this is, it's to finish well, is a part of the pathway. David had served God's purpose in his own generation, and he fell asleep. Albert Einstein said, only a life lived in the service of others is worth living. Albert Schweitzer said, the purpose of human life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others. I just finished writing my dad's memoirs. My dad's 87. He's on the, as they say, the sunset side of life. I've heard that phrase. He's talking about, I don't know how much longer I've got to live. And the name of he's an interesting person. Born in 1931 on the prairies during the Great Depression. Grew up on the farm, and for as long as when he was a teenager, he was going to be a farmer. And he was an entrepreneurial farmer at age 14 and worked on a thrashing crew. Do you guys know what that is? Had his own team of horses and a wagon and very enterprising and a hard worker and loved the farm. And he felt like that's what God's purpose for his life was. But then 21 years old, he goes off to some missionary convention because he's serving the youth group and carrying a bunch of kids to this convention. And lo and behold, God speaks to him through this speaker and says, we need people to go into the world and be missionaries. And my dad stands up and sneaks off into the corner. He's a bit of an introvert. Goes off into the corner. He says yes to God. And that changed everything. Then he goes off to school and he wants to be a missionary. He goes to the college down in Seattle, Pacific College, that it used to be called. And he was going to be a missionary. He's going to go and save the world. Well, he got into language classes, and he really did very poorly at language. And they said to him, you are not going to be a missionary. You have no idea how to capture a language. So forget it. So then he came back to Canada as a missionary. And it's interesting, his talent, he was a farmer. He had a green thumb. He knew how to work with farmers. And God put him in rural prairie culture because he could identify. But God took him, changed him from bringing in the sheaves, which literally is what he did, to caring for souls as a shepherd, as someone that encouraged people, made them feel like $1 million. And now at 87, he goes into the grocery store and I almost get embarrassed. He's so encouraging. Just not so much, like not, but he's just so alive with this talent and he wants to serve. And so the title of his book is My Dad Found Faithful. Now that's a statement of faith. I don't think he's going to mess up in the next few years. But I think of him and I'm blessed to have him as my dad. I'm blessed to have that heritage. But what it says to me is not just about him, it's about, oh boy, I just want to live my life so that when I get to the end of my life, it can be said about my life, what I'm saying about my dad, and what is said here about Paul, or about David's life. Can it be said about you and I that we served God's purpose in our generation, and then we fell asleep? So your homework, if you will choose to accept it, is to fill in those five blanks at the end. It's in the bottom of that bulletin there somewhere. Just take this, reflect on it, and invite Jesus to be with you in this. And wherever you are on your spiritual journey as well, that this may be an opportunity for you to connect with the God who does love you, as Debbie reminded us. He loves all of us. He has a purpose for every one of your lives. And wherever you're at in that, if you're feeling far away from God or you're feeling close to God, he wants to bring you into his plan and purpose in a way that's powerful and beautiful. So take these five phrases. My talent is, the way I am serving is by. My mentors are, the adversity I will accept is, and what I want said at my funeral. Just take those five lines and just do some work on that. And maybe share that with a friend this week. And just allow God and the Holy Spirit to work in your life and just see what shows up. And I will be excited to hear from you. Tell somebody. Share what is being revealed. As you think about the beginning of a fall, you have work to do. We all have work to do, whether you're paid for it or not. And may you find God's purpose in your life on a daily basis and make a difference. Because after all, that's what makes life, what I believe, truly meaningful and how it was intended to live. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you invite us into this journey with you of living life on purpose, not just meandering through life, not just being wanderers, but being people who are living focused lives in service for you with the talent, with the stories, with the lives that you have shaped us into. Lord, show us how you want us to serve, how you want us to use what we've been given to bless others, to help others, to make a difference in our world. Thank you today that you are with us. And as we begin and launch into this new school year, kind of a beginning of a season in our lives, may we truly live life on purpose and continue to move forward with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.